everybody. Hello and welcome, and thank you for letting me let that song ride while I catch my breath. Welcome to Game Over. Welcome to the hopefully almost the end of Winnipeg construction season, which means it's just about to snow. Or do we get a week?
No.
Do we get a week where it's sort of okay, or is it just terrible?
I'm pretty sure the snow's going to start before the end of construction season.
I remember when there was I know you're not supposed to talk about politics, certainly on air. By the way, welcome to a Power Hour episode of Game Over, the premier video game show hosted by two brothers and a third guy, only live on 101.5 UMFM and UMFM.com, but also available to you in podcast form on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever else you get your podcast. I'm your host, Simon Pazdor, joined by my faithful squad mates, Adam Pazdor and Matt Menier. Now, what I was about to say was literally my entire vote in the mayoral. That's a tough one. Mayoral. I can't do it. I'm too out of breath. The mayor race was the one guy who was like, I'm going to do construction 24/7 until it's done. I was like, I don't care.
I don't need to hear any other opinions.
You could be literally slapping food from the mouths of children, and I would still vote for you based solely on that fact. Okay, so like I said, we are a smidge late today. That's my bad. But we showed up. Ooh, a little bit of shade thrown at the TV Talkers people because we're the TV Talkers people as well.
Not me.
Yeah, not you. Not usually. Mm-hmm. You're a infrequent guest star.
Yes.
You're the kind of guest star that we only do when it's clear that we had budget for that one episode. So, oh my God, they spent their budget and they got Adam? Wow. Anyway. So, we are going to be doing a full hour. We're going to be talking. There's a couple new games that came out. I don't think we've played. I mean, there's three big games that came out. Haven't played two of them. I don't know if Matt's played either one of them. You'll see what I'm talking about in a second. I've certainly played a lot of the third one. And then I have a couple questions that I want to throw at you guys as well. A little bit of news. But Matt, First things first, Monster Hunter came out with an expansion pack, did it not?
It did. Yeah, so the Iceborne expansion released, not this weekend, but last weekend. Although I sort of only really got my teeth into it a little bit this weekend when I was meaning to be playing NHL, but the download gods frowned on me, meaning that I forgot to download it before I went to a music festival and then got back and turned off my PS4 halfway through. It is still downloading at my house right now.
Whoopsie.
Yep, but it meant that I finally got a chance to play some Iceborne, which is a rare full expansion.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just like a DLC release. It's an actual proper full expansion, which is partially a new thing and partially same old for the Monster Hunter franchise. They've always done lots of expansions, but they were always released as a full second game.
Interesting.
So normally they'd release like Monster Hunter 3, and then they'd follow it up a year later, Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate, which would have all of the DLC that had been released throughout the year, because they always do like monthly free DLC releases, new monsters, new equipment, all that kind of stuff. And then it would also include a bunch of new stuff. So this is the first one that's actually, I believe, that's an expansion and not just a full second game. But honestly, I think I prefer it that way because the game itself is not that old, so it's a little soon for a new one. But I got to sink my teeth into a little bit. It's so good. It's so good. I forgot how much I liked Monster Hunter when there's new stuff. Not that Monster Hunter didn't have plenty of stuff before.
Yeah,
I logged in and I first time in probably 6 months, and I still had like 215 hours or something in the game, and I'm like, they run out of stuff. It's like, well, if it takes 200 hours to get there, it's probably pretty good.
That's probably enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, I forgot how good this game is when there's new things to do. So basically the new expansion, there's a whole separate area. So it's the expansion is called Iceborne. So there's a nice little ice area called the Hoarfrost Reach, the ice areas were always my favorite areas of the game. They have some of my favorite monsters. I was disappointed they didn't have an ice area in the game to begin with. Mm-hmm. So I'm super glad they had that back. And now it's the same quality as all the rest of them. Like the environments and the sort of arena design detail are incredible in this game. It's so good.
Mm-hmm.
There's a really cool mix of new for this game monsters, and a bunch of sort of classics that were brought back. Some of my favorites that I was disappointed didn't make it into the main game are now back in the expansion, which I'm super happy about. I'm finding myself like hungry to keep going. I'm constant, like I keep after every single quest I check, it's like, okay, can I make this thing now? Can I make this thing now? I want to join these guys in these quests. No, I'm not far enough. Crap, I need to get farther so I can do all this stuff.
Yeah.
I'm I'm so excited to keep pushing through it. The expansion so far looks amazing. It doesn't solve some of the weird online eccentricities that the game had, but that would probably require quite a bit of restructuring of the base game. So there's still a few issues with it, but so far it's been amazing, and I can't wait to keep going with it.
That's good. That's good to hear that. So was it, if it's an expansion, I would guess like $40?
I believe it was $50.
$50. Yeah. Okay. So I think that's about what actually, I don't want to say the W word so early in the show, but the Witcher expansions were actually quite reasonably priced. But I think that's what the last expansion that I can think of that, as you said, was truly an expansion was, I think, XCOM War of the Chosen.
Yeah, that's the one that jumped to my mind, too.
Yeah, and that was about $50, I think, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this introduces an entire other, well, for Monster Hunter fans, that's now called Master Rank, what used to be called G Rank, which is basically an entire other game on top of the base game. So I would not be surprised at all if I get another 100, 150 hours out of the expansion.
Wow. That is high praise for an expansion, and more importantly, you can ride dinosaurs.
Yes.
So that's huge.
Yeah, there's been a few sort of new little like features in there, like your tail riders. You can actually ride them now. Before, it was just your cute pet cat. Now you and your pet cat can both ride them.
That's crucial that your pet cat can ride it too.
Honestly, that was one of the things I was most excited about. Because whenever you're in the game, when you get a new monster, you unlock its weapons and armor sets. Also, you unlock your weapon and armor sets for your Palico, which are... I mean, the character designs for weapons and armor are very, let's say, ostentatious. Mm. And they... seems like they're holding back compared to the Palico designs, which are absolutely zany. Like, every one of them is insane. And so that was probably one of the things I was most excited about, was to just beat a new monster and then go see what I can dress my cat up like afterwards. They have some really great ones. Currently, he's dressed like a snowboarder.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Hey, I saw that. And he even had a snowboard. But
yeah.
I'm curious, is it sort of like a Pikachu situation where if you run around fast enough, does he actually hop on the snowboard at all or no?
No, he doesn't.
That would have been a nice little thing to
miss. Missed
throw
opportunity
in there.
On that.
Ugh, a shame. Okay, so I want to spend probably the most of our show talking about NHL, even though it sounds like neither of you... I mean, I know Adder hasn't had a chance to play most of it. But
that's one way to phrase it.
To play it at all, really. Although, to be fair, it's not like we split it. I bought the entire game.
Yes, you did.
So there is that. But, of course, I do want to touch on the fact that two other major releases came out. But before then, I have the smallest, literally the smallest bit of news. The PlayStation, or Sony, rather, excuse me, released a press release the other day. And they made a very important announcement. I don't know if either of you guys have heard.
I don't.
They formally announced... that the bottom button on the PlayStation controller...
Oh, yes, I did hear this.
...is called Cross. So we all, for the last borderline 30 years, we've all been saying it's triangle, square, circle, and X.
Yeah.
But in fact, officially, it is triangle, square, circle...
and cross.
...and cross. Why?
It gets worse, though.
Oh, my God.
Because the Chinese symbol for cross... or X, pardon me, and fork are the same. So on some controllers, depending on where they're made, it's actually fork, not even cross, which is so much worse.
Triangle, square, circle, and fork. I mean, it's. I often wonder. This is probably the example that we'll turn to in years to come. But occasionally there's something like this where it's just like you hear a Pokemon name or something that's pronounced officially and you're just like, that doesn't sound right at all.
Yeah.
Like, it reminds me, I don't know if you guys saw, I think it was in the deleted scenes of the movie I Love You, Man, where they're hanging out with Rush and they're trying to pronounce the drummer of Rush's name, which I believe is pronounced Pert.
That's what I thought.
Because they say it in the name, but one of the characters played by Jason Segel says to Paul Rudd, he's like, dude, you touch Neil Peart's sandwich. And then Neil's like, it's pronounced Pert. And he's like, are you sure? We're pretty big fans. So that's kind of how I feel about this one. I'm just like, Cross, are you sure? Because we're pretty big fans. And I've been calling it X for the last 20 years.
Well, and also, like, this is especially backwards, like, if you're in England, because a cross is very strictly the plus sign.
Yeah.
That's what a cross is. Although, having said that, They also call X's and O's knots and crosses, so I guess you can draw it that way, too.
Yeah, they got a bunch of...
But no, it's the X button. I don't care what they say.
Yeah, it's so unimportant, but I hate cross. It's X.
Yeah, it's definitely X. The other little bit of news, I don't know... I think this is the Japanese and the American version. Oh, shoot. But the other little bit of news is there was a Fire Emblem Three Houses DLC update. I think it's better to say it was just a large update than the full... batch of DLC. You got some new items, like some stat boosting items. The big thing, because I know I don't think either of you guys have gone back to it after you've beaten it.
No.
But the big thing is they like way upped your renown. So it's like the farther you go, it will really increase. I don't want to say exponentially, but they increase the amount of renown that you get, and also for every time you complete the game, you get 10,000 renown. So for me, it was like I wanted to recruit everybody in my playthrough, so I would just buy out some supports to make it a little bit quicker.
Yeah.
Or if I want to do something new, I would, again, buy out the weapon ranks just to make that a smidge faster, too. But then it's like, well, how am I going to ever get these statues done because I'm using all my renown towards this? Well, now you ask. So I went in there, and because I had beaten it three times, I had, like, 50,000 renown. I'm like, oh, okay, I can just do everything I want to do now, and I won't have to worry about it ever again. And the best part is, like I kind of just implied there, it's retroactive. So if you beat the game in the past and you load up New Game Plus in the new save, even if you're, like, three New Game Pluses in, you'll get all of the collective renown that you should have been getting, which is great. The other bit of news, first of all, they kind of censored two things. And so we'll sort of delicately dance around a couple of these conversations, one of which was the B support with Bernadetta. So what she says is she's talking about how her dad is abusive, and I guess... just to be on the safe side, trigger warning, because a lot of characters in Fire Emblem Three Houses have been seriously abused.
Yeah.
And I've seen a couple think pieces that I really liked reading, which were talking about how well they addressed it, how well and realistic and how seriously they took it, because a lot of these characters aren't flawed. They're just not like, oh, my dad beat me casually and now I'm okay and quirky, you know. It's not that. These characters are like seriously damaged and you have to try to help them, not cure them ever, but help them through the course of the game. See if they can get through some of the stuff. It's really well done. In the B support with Bernadetta, though, she talks about how her dad, to teach her obedience, would tie her to a chair. And then in the original support conversation, she says, and then he would leave me for like a day on end, just stuck there. And they took out that last bit of the line. So she still says that she would tie her to a chair, but it's unspecified the amount of time. So now it seems like it's a little bit of a dangling moment there, but... like, there's some pretty twisted stuff. I was a little surprised that that's the one they decided was too far. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. What do you guys think about that line being changed?
I don't think that was nearly the darkest thing that had happened to any of the characters.
No.
So it seems strange that that would be the thing that has taken out. Did they remove anything else?
Well, we're going to get to something in a second. Nothing, like, story-wise got removed to my knowledge. I mean, maybe it's just that someone hasn't run into it and then posted it, uploaded it online. That one got discovered pretty quickly.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, considering some of the dark stuff that happens in that game, and the fact that they didn't, like, rework it, you know, they didn't try to rework the conversation, because now it's, I mean, he's still, it's left open as to how long he left her there. It's almost worse. So that was kind of interesting. The other big thing is, and I was trying to get a comparison, but I believe this video that I have here is the Japanese and American voice actors, but we'll try here. Yeah, it's the Japanese voice actor. So they changed Byleth's American voice actor. Now, we knew they were going to do that a few months ago because there are allegations against the English voice actor that, again, we're not going to touch on. That's not our job here in Game Over. But I'm a bit surprised that they didn't jump on this a little sooner, because you'd think with any game, the majority of the people who play it are going to be playing it like really quickly. So now all the diehard Fire Emblem fans have like played it once, maybe even twice. They've heard the voice, and now they're moving on. And also, Byleth doesn't really talk.
No, you don't say much.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, as morbid as it is, they could probably say they changed the voice actor and, like, pitch it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, just change the pitch or something, because he, as far as I can tell, only really grunts and then occasionally will comment on a level up.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, But again, I knew they were going to do it. I'm surprised it took until the game's been out for almost 3 months.
Yeah, especially because I believe they announced it before the game's release, or at least like the weekend of the release. I mean, I know these things can't happen overnight, but it seems strange that it took until now.
And especially because the lines were, I mean, I'm sure there's still a lot of lines, but this wasn't you're not dubbing a main character.
It's not a substantial voice acting.
Yeah, they also changed Edelgard from the very first trailer to the one that was released, and we're not entirely sure why, but Edelgard's voice actress got changed too. That's a more significant one, you know, and they still got that one together. So you couldn't get the guy to, I mean, they knew who the guy was 2 months ago. It wasn't like, we're changing him, don't worry, TBD on who it's going to be. They had the guy. So you just couldn't get him into the studio to grunt a few times and be like, yes, I leveled up properly. And you took you this long?
Yeah.
It's a little bit weird.
It's a lot bit weird.
Yeah. Something's fishy in Camp Wiganishi. I'm a close personal friend of Al Simmons, so I can say that now. Okay, so there are two games that came out. I haven't played either one. I haven't really looked at particularly a ton of reviews of everyone because I've had a messy week. But at least one of them I want to buy, and at least one of them Matt's brother has bought, so maybe he's played it. Borderlands 3 and Gears 5. Not Gears of War 5, it's just changed to Gears 5. What I am doing is looking at the Metacritic scores. Now, again, we don't need to get into how review scores can be biased. Who knows? Because that's a big thing in the news right now. But the Metacritic for both of them, review score is 85. Very positive. But the user score for Borderlands 3 is only 5.3. The user score for Gears 5 is 8.7. And Gears 5 also just passed Fortnite as the most played game online on Xbox.
Wow.
So clearly Gears 5 is killing it.
Yeah.
That's the one I'll probably buy, to be honest, because I think I've literally owned every other Gears of War game, or rather Gears game now. And I was interested in the direction they were going in Gears 4. I think I smack-talked it on air, and then I bought it. I was like, okay, this was pretty good. But a big selling feature for me is whether or not you can play it offline with bots, which you used to be able to. I don't think you could in Gears 4, so I might give that a Google before I try it. But yeah, it's nice to know that these two like mainstay franchises of the gaming culture are still doing well and very well received. That being said, Matt, do you have any secondhand reviews for us of Borderlands?
The only review I can give is that the Deluxe Edition Steelbook is gorgeous because it arrived in the mail this afternoon and not on Friday like it was supposed
to. So you guys, your entire weekend between you and your brother was plagued by not being able to play the games that you wanted.
Yeah, he was. I haven't actually talked to him about it, but he was very excited that it was going to come on Friday, and he was nervous that it wasn't. That it might come on Saturday and he wouldn't be able to play it Friday night. So he's probably pretty pissed that it only got here at like 3 o'clock this afternoon.
This is like a worst case Ontario situation.
Yeah. The Steelbook looks great. Art direction is solid.
I do seriously love purchasing physical copies. I like physical copies of things, but I think the last several game releases that I've got, certainly NHL, which we'll talk about in a minute here, and Fire Emblem, I purchased digitally. And a few months ago, Adam and I invested in a huge micro SD card for the Switch.
Yes.
That like quadruples its capacity. And we got a similar thing for our PS4 because we were constantly like, hey, when's the last time you played Assassin's Creed? Can I delete it? So I was just like, okay, now we got like half a terabyte or something on the PS4.
Yeah.
And we just don't have to worry about that ever again. So that might be something worth investing in. Although I agree with you, I also like the physical copies of things.
I really like having the case and the disc for the game. Like it's definitely inconvenient, and I've sort of switched to mostly getting digital stuff now.
Yeah.
When I can, I still try to buy the physical ones. I tried to get the like digital deluxe the deluxe edition for the Monster Hunter expansion, which also came in a really nice looking steelbook, but nowhere had it.
Yeah.
So there are things where occasionally you're sort of forced to go digital, but I do miss having, you know, my little stack of cases, and I like the art. I like looking at the thing. I like having the physical thing. It's just, you know, really convenient to not have to like actually get up and move discs around and, oh no, I left it at my friend's place and now I can't play.
Being driven home by your parent and reading the instruction manual to get even a glimpse of the game is a moment that has been lost to modern culture. But like, part of the problem is when I was growing up, it was like we'd have to go to the EB Games, or for a while there I even just walked to Superstore because it's across the street from our house. But now it's like you hear so many stories about EB Games and GameStop, because they're all the same company, closing down stuff and firing employees and like asking for unpaid overtime, and like you hear constant horror stories about that franchise. No offense to any of them, because the people that I've talked to seem happy. Maybe Winnipeg is like this bright golden spot, but around the rest of the country and into the United States, it seems like it's not going so well. And like, I don't necessarily want to order off Amazon, because I assume that's what you did, because then again, that happened with a game last year.
Sometimes it comes 3 days late.
Yeah. I think that happened with, I ordered a Switch game last year. I think it was, yeah, it was Let's Go. Right? Remember we ordered Let's Go on Amazon and it didn't come for like 3 days? So yeah. I had the exact same situation. I was like, I'd love to talk about Let's Go, but the Amazon order didn't come in, so I can't talk about that. So I don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's tough. Yeah. And it's like, well, I may as well just give my money directly to the people who made the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. I have a P&P Games near my house that I, whenever I possibly can, I try to get stuff from there.
Because they're a local business.
Yeah, they are. I think there's only like two in the city.
Exactly.
It used to be a Microplay, and we knew every single person that worked there. Me and my friend, we'd go all the time, and when they closed and then turned into a P&P, we like went and brought them a cake.
Aww.
It was like all the staff like changed out, even though it was still a video game store. Like all of our sort of video game store friends were leaving, so it was very sad for us. But you were saying before, like when you're walking home and like looking at the actual physical thing, I still actually do that.
Yeah,
when I can, I will walk down like the 15 minutes down to P&P Games, get a game, and walk home, because I just like looking at the thing and reading it all over, and it's just sort of a nostalgic experience for me.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, I remember having first. I mean, you obviously have the big stack of games, like physical games, in the basement that you can look at. But I remember distinctly having a stack of like instruction manuals. And back in the, like now you'll get that little pamphlet. And I guess they're saving paper, so that's probably important to the environment or whatnot. But I remember back in the day, it wasn't just an instruction manual. It was almost like a small lore guide and mm-hmm. whatever you're going. So like you open up the Legend of Zelda Majora's Mask thing, and it's like, here are the Zoras, and here are the Goron, and here are the Deku and whatever. And it's like, whoa, what game am I going to get into in like 15 minutes here?
And now we have wikis for that.
Yeah, now, yeah, the landscape has changed, but it's I'm definitely mourning the sort of more tactile experience of actually picking up physical things at retailers. But I think you have come up with a solution, Matt. It's to try to find local retailers. So maybe, I mean, I don't think I've said it so far this episode. So like us on Facebook, facebook.com/gameover, UMFM, and maybe send us a list. If you like, hey, my friend owns like a local, I mean, I know about P&P Games, but maybe someone like knows a corner store owned by their cousin or whatever, and they're doing like local video games, they're having like tournaments and stuff like that, because I would love to know what's more going on. The beauty of games is that they're online, but I think there is a joy to like knowing the people in your area, because I remember knowing the few people at like game stores nearby my house, and I was like, oh yeah, I know, I've been talking to you for like years, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a sad, and it's a little bit of a dying art. Speaking of things that should be dying, NHL. NHL 20. Sorry, was that too morbid? So actually, we went out and bought this game. As I told Adam in a revelation a few weeks ago, voting with your wallet can only lead you so far, because then when they do something that you want to reward, you actually have to pay for it. So I bought I got a month of EA Access, which I have to remind myself to cancel. For $5, which got me 10 hours of the game. I invited Matt over. We had the most Canadian experience. We ordered pizza, we bought beer, and we played NHL for like 4 hours, and it was great.
Mm-hmm.
And then because I had EA Access, I got 10% off the game. And since the game is $80, that was $8 off the game, which was more than I paid for EA Access. So in total,
came out like $3.50 ahead.
Yeah, EA gave me $3. That's how I'm going to choose to look at that. But I mean, Matt, did you play anything before, anything outside of what we did that one night last week?
Nope, my NHL 20 gameplay experience so far is 100% confined to our franchise mode the other night.
Okay, but that was fun.
Oh, it was great.
So I've talked to a few people. Adam and I, we play on a hockey team, so we were talking to one of the guys there who is unlike us. And so he was playing, he's like one of those online people, one of those fabled online gamers I keep hearing about. And he wasn't, I mean, he said there was some new stuff, but I don't think he was particularly happy with some connection issues and whatever. And that's the interesting thing about NHL, is that he had a totally different experience, because I might like delve into Hutt for like a weekend and be like, okay, well, I'm not going to spend any money and I'm not good enough to get any good players anyway, so whatever. And then I'll just keep going back to franchise mode, which is where I know I'm going to have the most fun. But so far, I would say franchise mode is getting like a, not a fully thumbs up, not like a 10 out of 10, but pretty much everything they've done, I appreciated.
Mm-hmm.
And even some things that they've tweaked from the previous year, I really appreciated. Like morale meetings. So again, we're going to probably talk about it for a few minutes here. Probably like 20 minutes, because I do have a question for you guys. And guess what?
It's commercial time?
It's not commercial time. It's going to be... Actually, we're going to do a commercial in a second here. But it's Name That Sound time this week.
Ooh, in the middle. Hey!
No, it's going to be at
children
the
cheering.
It's going to be at the.
Did
children,
I get it?
That's exactly right.
Dang it!
That's actually children cheering from Mario Party 8. No, it's not. We're going to do it at the end. I just wanted to let you guys know that we were doing it, or the people at home, if you're wondering what part to listen to, the end. I mean, the whole thing is good, but the end is going to be real good. I hope it's going to be a best of seven. But yeah, so let's take a quick commercial break here, about 90 seconds, and then we'll come back and we will talk NHL, or as the kids just call it, chill. And we're back. Hope you weren't expecting to hear TV Talkers. They are off this week. Probably going to be returning next week, but honestly, I don't know. Stay tuned to our Facebook page, Game Over UMFM, and stay tuned to their Facebook page. I think it's TV Talkers UMFM. As to what the dealio is and what the brand new news is. I guess it can't be old news, although old news is a thing. Yeah.
Speaking of news, I did just read Netflix got the global streaming rights for Seinfeld.
I saw that.
Yeah, but
yeah.
Not in Canada. Because global somehow does not include Canada.
That, yes.
Because it's on Crave.
Yeah. I mean, I already canceled my Crave subscription. Retroactive. So I still have it for the next year because I paid for it. And I was like, oh, crap, I didn't want to pay for that. Cancel it. Whatever. Yeah, Seinfeld's great. But we've talked about it on TV Talkers, so we don't have to talk about it here. But what we do have to talk about is NHL 20. Specifically franchise mode. So again, I'm sorry. You can find a YouTuber who's going to be like, hey, what's up, boys? Like and subscribe. Smash that subscribe button if you want. Let me show you some sweet dangles this week. That sounds like all of them, right? That was a perfect impression?
Yeah. Except you smash the bell.
Sorry. My mistake. Smash the bell.
Yeah, like, subscribe, ring the notification bell.
Yeah.
Yeah. And as someone who plays a lot of EA Sports Hockey League, chatting with my friend earlier today, it's basically exactly the same.
Yes. So where we left off before the commercial break is Adam and I are on a team with a guy, and that's basically what he said. He said he was either having connection issues or it felt very much the same. And to be honest, as someone who plays single player, first of all, Be a Pro is the same game. So that's a pile of trash.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But to be honest, I took like a little satisfaction of being like, haha, my franchise people actually got what we wanted this year. But that's also not good. However, I did see a stat. And don't quote me on this because 80% of stat are made up on the spot. But I saw this on Twitter. Including that one. But I saw this on Twitter by someone who did the stats. I just didn't have time to find the tweet. But it was like NHL, I think they used 19 or 18. Their year-long sales were like three quarters of what Madden or FIFA make in their first week.
Wow.
So if you want to know why NHL is that much, I mean, there's still, to be clear, there's still no excuse for them to do as little as they do, considering how many people do buy it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to know why the other franchises are lapping them and doing insane things, that would be why.
It's because they lap them in sales as well.
Yeah. Yes. So as much as we all hate Bettman, and we do, the fact that he's growing the game in unconventional markets like Vegas, we probably have to tip our hat to him and be like, fine.
If enough people in Vegas get into hockey, maybe we'll finally get a good Be a Pro mode.
Yeah. That's the key. You know, is Seattle
you heard it here, Vegas.
Off. You heard it here first. That's right. And
can't
also,
do it without you.
NHL, but not NHL gaming news today. They announced that they're pushing the CBA agreement back a couple years. So there will not be a lockout at the end of this upcoming year. There might be a lockup at the end of in 3 years' time.
Yeah.
We don't know that, but at least we're going to have 3 more years of hockey without a lockout. So that's good.
Yeah, I actually heard about that.
Yeah. But, okay, so let's talk NHL franchise mode. The big deal was coaches, but they also totally revamped the morale system, and they also kind of nerfed the scouting system. Excuse me. Now, I really liked it, but I do also have some tweaks, but I think I talked about it. No, I didn't talk about it. Did I talk about it last week? I had no concept of time, what it means anymore. Matt, how did you find it?
I liked it, but it seemed kind of unpolished.
Yeah.
Where I think there's a lot of really interesting things they can do with it, and I'm glad it's there. But yeah, at times it still feels kind of clunky and confusing. It's a nice toy to have, but it's kind of like you have to handle it with oven mitts.
Yeah. I think, as I described it, and I meant no offense when I said this, Adam, and I still do not mean offense, but it felt like just one step above what Adam would pull on Excel, where you just program a program and you just like hit a button for like yes, no, and then you can just see Excel working. It was just like a very thin layer of paint over top of exactly that.
Yeah, basically an if-then, a series of if-then blocks.
Yes, and they're relying on you doing that thing you would have to do for video games like in the 90s where you're using your imagination to fill in the blanks and get you the rest of the way. But to be honest, I got a pretty powerful imagination. So you give me an inch, and yeah, it's going to feel pretty good. Don't take that quote out of context. But so things like the new morale system, which I'll touch on because I'm really pleased with it, actually, is players and coaches. In the past, it was players upset. They come to you. They say they're upset. You have one of four options. You have no idea that you're going to like, is everyone going to like this? Is everyone going to hate this? Is it going to be half and half? I have no concept of what's happening right now. That's all gone. Now the morale system is a player will come up to you if they have an issue, and they'll say, hey, coach, let's take the team that I was using. So I had, I traded Brian Little, for Bo Horvat, and Brian Little in picks. You don't need to know the details. For Bo Horvat, but I got to the point where I drafted a franchise player. I was lucky enough to get one in the first year. And so I had to move Bo Horvat to the third line. And he was like, hey, GM, I'm not getting enough ice time. What the heck is going on here? And I'm like, I have three options. I can say immediately, yes, you're not getting enough ice time, and promise that I will give him more, in which case he'll get a small morale boost and a big one if I keep my promise. I can say, nope, suck it up, you're a team player. Or I can try to persuade him. I'm like, actually, I think you are getting enough ice time, and I think you know that, which always has a percentage, but I've only ever seen 50%. I think that's what we got. Do we even have any morale meetings in the year that I did with you, Matt?
I don't think we have them come up.
We're just that great, though, because yeah. We just balanced it perfectly.
Hey, as the Winnipeg Jets, we drafted Alexis Lafreniere.
It's true.
So, you know, I think we did pretty good.
We traded, I think, Veselainen in the first for Lafreniere because they want to trade away the first overall pick for some reason. Made no sense. Yeah, we got to go back to that. That was fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really liked that system, and then I would go in and I would tweak my lines, and I would try to get Bo Horvat. I'm okay, I'll make sure he's playing on the first power play line, make sure he's playing on the first penalty kill line, and see if I can bump up his numbers just a little bit. And it makes things like, it makes tools that I had before have more context. So I used to be able to go into the player's stats and be like, oh, you know, you're only playing like 13 minutes a night, maybe that's why you're not scoring. Well, now I know, because he's going to tell me, and I have options to do things about it. Or if I'm like, no, I like my line chemistry the way it is, and I need you to deal with that, or I'm going to have to trade you or something. I like that a lot. You could do the same thing with coaches. So I had one where I, again, drafted a Danish man named Jeff McIntosh was my, swear to God, he was my, I traded for him. I had to trade everything for him. But year one, there was a franchise medium player in the draft, had to do it. So I traded the farm, got him. He was about to play in the NHL. My coach comes up to me and says, hey, so what's your plan for Jeff McIntosh? And I'm like, I think we're going to play him in the NHL. He's like, how about we give him a 9-game trial period? I'm like, sure. And then, because he's a franchise player, he did fine. And the coach was like, yeah, that was the right call. And then the coach got morale up. But I was like, I'd never, that isn't even something I thought about.
Yeah.
And then there it was. So that was such a pleasant surprise to see that kind of stuff. They're coming up with things. But again, this is where we're talking about that thin veneer. Those text conversations are, it's literally a text.
It's very generic.
You couldn't even get a picture of the coach whose face you've auto-generated in the background of that text conversation or something.
Who has the same auto-generated face as, like, your AHL goalie coach.
Yes, there's, like, yes. They say there's 100 faces. I feel like I've seen all 100 of them.
There might be 100 faces, but there's, you know, when each team has, like, four coaches for the NHL and AHL, that adds up to a lot more than 100 coaches.
Yeah.
You need 1,000 coaches at enough variety.
Yes.
Not 100.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. It did look a little silly. Mm-hmm. And then there's interviews now, which is nice. You can interview the coaches and kind of find out where they are before you hire them. You can also interview draft prospects, which is interesting. But again, you find out pretty quickly. This is a very thin veneer as well. The draft prospects, you can be like, hey, what's your best talent? And they'll either have the canned shot answer, the canned hitting answer, the canned skating answer, or something like that. And it's the same thing either way. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, you guys couldn't have written like 5 variations of the same idea. Like, how long would that take you? 30 minutes maximum to do all that?
Yeah.
It's a little bit sad, but again, it is mm-hmm. better than
it's a nice system. It's just kind of thin at the moment. It definitely feels more like you're dealing with an actual team of people than just sort of RNG buttons like they were kind of before in the old morale system.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, that humanity kind of fades away from it pretty quick when you have the same conversation with, like, your sixth player that year.
Yeah, don't think too much about it. And then the actual coaching system, I think, is by and large good. We discovered, I mean, for the most part, year one is going to be a crapshoot because who knows what kind of coach you're going to get auto-assigned. You know, are they going to fit in with your team? Are they not? And I tried posting on the Reddit page, but didn't get an answer because I think I don't have enough karma maybe to post on the NHL Reddit page. but I, for the life of me, cannot figure out how to properly fire a coach mid-season without just appointing your assistant coach, because you can't go a game, or can't go even go a second, mm-hmm. without a head coach in your organization. So I don't know how you could possibly hire one or fire one and hire one. Like, if someone fired their coach, I'm like, well, I like him. He's got like a 70% fit with my team. I want to make him an offer, and then if he accepts it, fire my guy. You can't do that. So that's mm-hmm. something obvious that I thought they would put in.
Yeah. Seems strange that you also can't hire coaches off of other teams.
Yeah.
Because that happens all the time in real life where, yeah. you know, a head coach gets fired and they hire an assistant coach from another team to take over.
Yeah, exactly. Or like pitch the assistant coach of another team your head coaching job or something yeah. like, hey, you've been the assistant coach in Dallas for like 6 years. I really like what you're doing. I think you do well with my team. I'll hire you over. That was interesting. I was playing with owner mode off to see if it... I think we played with owner mode off, you yeah. and I, Matt, to see if it would give us an unlimited budget for coaches just so I could hire whatever. It didn't, and I don't really know what the coaching budget was entirely mapped to, because as Winnipeg, we had like a $5 million coaching budget, and some coaches, like head coaches, the really good ones were like $4, $5, $6 mm-hmm. million. Dollars. I'm like, how could I possibly... Am I being cursed by being Winnipeg? Like, Chipman's got deep pockets, man.
Unfortunately, I think it's probably going to be similar to one of the few issues I had with the FIFA franchise mode.
Uh-oh.
And that is, if you start as a lower budget team, you will always have a lower budget. Yeah. Doesn't matter how many championships you win, how many tickets you sell, you are a low budget team according to the game. So at the beginning of each year, you go back to having no money.
That's probably it. But I know last year, at least with the scouts, if you played with owner mode off, you had unlimited budget for scouting. Because that's one of the things, like, I don't necessarily want to make more money on hot dogs, but I really wanted to emphasize scouting.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that I think a good team should do. And it's the same thing. I wanted to have good coaches, too. So I didn't mind spending like an extra couple $100,000 on coaches. I did eventually find a budget coach that worked for the team, which was, again, the fact that we're having this conversation where we could in the past, it was just like, well, why is this player not performing? I have no idea. Now, when we looked at the stats on our team, it was like totally matched. Who did well versus who liked the coach.
Mm-hmm.
If you are in line with a ton of chemistry, you had a ton of points. And if you're aligned with no chemistry, you had shockingly few. So if it was a wonder of, is this really going to make a difference? Oh, yeah. It's going to make a difference. Mm-hmm. My only criticism on that is there wasn't a lot of wiggle room. So if it was like, hey, I got Josh Morrissey. He just signed. He's our like franchise defenseman. He doesn't fit within my coach's scheme, but the coach's scheme fits with literally everybody else. Why is there no option to go to my coach and be like, hey, could you just like mold to my star player a little bit more? Maybe you don't want to conform to a player who's like, I don't know, under 84 or under. But if you're 85 or over and like, this is the star player on our team, we're not trading him. Like, can you make this work, please?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There was no option to do that whatsoever, which was a bit disappointing.
Yeah. I feel like there should be some sort of option to talk to both the coach and the player about that kind of thing. Like, hey, you know, Josh Morrissey,
yeah.
whoever, like, I know this is like maybe not the system we're used to, but like, you know, maybe try working on these other things so you know you can, you know, gel with the team a little bit more.
Yeah.
Or talk to the coach like, hey, this guy doesn't really fit this kind of scheme, so like maybe, you know, try just adjusting your strategies a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, because it right now it's, I mean, we didn't have it with any like big name players, but you could totally just like get a new coach and it's like, guess what, Mark Scheifele doesn't work with this coach.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's like, well, in real life you would just make it work.
Yeah, exactly. That even sort of happened with me. It was even more bewildering because I did, obviously, I fired my coach after the first year because I knew I couldn't do it in the middle of the season. Basically fired everybody and hired a brand new coaching staff, and then had a very successful, I even set the NHL record, and I was simming it with 66 wins in a season. I'm like, my God. It partly because I had a guy who started off at 83 and finished at 92 in Jeff McIntosh.
Wow.
Yeah, those franchise players are real.
They're
good.
The real deal.
Here's the thing. In that first year, I was playing him on the third line, and he just had to deal with it. We won the cup, and then Wheeler was starting to go down, so I traded away Wheeler and put McIntosh in his spot. Well, McIntosh didn't fit within the scheme of my lineup whatsoever, and so my chemistry took a dive. I'm like, I've had this guy from 18. Why doesn't he work within my lineup, you know? Maybe players should be more, like, once they're done progressing, maybe that, but they should be at
a little
least
more moldable.
A little more moldable when they're young. It didn't make a lot of sense that they were so rigid.
Yeah, it's kind of like putting puzzle pieces together as opposed to, yeah, like, you know, actually molding
organic
something out of clay. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, let's find the people, these like rigid pieces that will fit together.
Yeah, but still really, really enjoying it.
it's still a very cool system.
Yeah, we have some issues, but the fact that it's there, and as I was talking with Adam the other day, like, we used to do all these things in our brain. Like, well, maybe this guy just doesn't fit in with, like, the chemistry of my team or whatever. Or maybe he doesn't fit with the style we want to play because he's not producing or whatever. We used to just make that up. Mm-hmm. Now it's real, and it's in there.
Yeah, they've had chemistry systems in the past, and they basically, you would try them for 5 minutes, realize it didn't matter, and just never touch it again.
Yeah.
So it's nice to see that it actually impacts things now.
Totally.
Even if it's kind of clunky.
It's definitely a little bit clunky, particularly because it doesn't seem like a one for one. Like, if you get 5 check marks, you don't get a plus 5. And it's like, some players don't fit my penalty kill scheme for whatever reason. And you'd think if you, like, clicked on a player to go into the menu to see the rest of them, that it might have, like, a check mark there, you know, like, next to their overall. Mm-hmm. Do they fit it with the scheme? Because, hey, other than that, I'm just like, click, nope, click, nope, click, nope, you know, try to find the one person who fits. Mm-hmm. Because, like, you'd think best lines would also just fill it with everybody who fits, but it doesn't. It's a little bit perplexing in that way. That being said, I invested in a really good goalie coach, and my goalies grew like crazy. The Birdman is now my starting goalie. The coaches are overall, I hired a couple female coaches just to have some variety. Why not? But I'm really enjoying the game. I'm anxious to play it with Adam. Hopefully you'll play it more, and we'll have a more thorough view of NHL in the future. That being said, Adam still did not bring the buzzers.
Well, I didn't know we were doing it today.
Yeah, one of these days. That's it. To be fair, I really only thought of this like 5 minutes before I left the office. Yeah. But here we go. It is a best of 7. Name that sound. Are you guys ready?
Yep.
As always, I want you to name... Actually, I'll probably tell you in the beginning whether or not I want you to name the character or the game, or just what the sound is in general. The more specific you can be, the better. I might slap you down if you're too vague. So, here you go. Sound number 1.
GoldenEye loading?
Exactly it. Specifically GoldenEye. That's impressive.
Wow, yeah, I was going to say, I had, it was a loading sound. I wasn't going to get
I had eye. All the sound effects in a video here, because I wasn't sure that you guys would get the loading sounds.
Wow, well done, Matt.
Right out the gate, GoldenEye. Very impressive.
Yeah, a couple people brought N64s out this summer. We played a lot of GoldenEye and OG Smash.
Okay.
Well, there you go. So he was
starting on the back foot.
That is sound 1. Here is sound number 2.
Finish!
Oh, it's a Mario Party. It's just the...
Yeah, that's close enough. Yeah, Mario Party, just the finish sound.
Yeah.
There you go.
End of a mini game.
I really thought Matt would have that one, because I think you played Mario Party more recently, probably. All right, this next one is actually 2 sounds put together, and I'm hoping that there's no ad played in the middle. That was it.
What?
Believe it or not.
Oh,
I thought that was a glitch in the...
Nope.
Okay, I need to hear that again. Oh, it's Pong.
Pong?
Very well done. It is Pong. Well done, Adam.
That was close.
Yeah, that is a tough one because it's so short, but there's
My first thought was, like, Pokemon Red and Blue, your trainer walking into a wall.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, the video is each 1 second long, so it's
yeah, I'm sitting there like, oh my goodness.
All right, so it's 2-1 for Adam. Here we go. Sound number 4. I hope.
Oh, which one
the
is it?
The PS4
opening,
like, turning on sound.
That's correct.
Yeah. PS4 it's an opening. Which one?
I try to throw in a console sound each time.
Yeah.
So today it was the PS4. Okay, so this one is a meme video, but it does feature the sound that I'm looking for. So now it's 2-2, Matt, sound 5.
Oh, it's Zelda, Horse Rising?
Yoshi from specifically Smash Bros, I think.
Yeah, from anything, but
yeah.
It's just, that's a video of geckos with Yoshi sound.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I figured that was enough.
Yep. Yeah. It's Yoshi's tongue noise.
Yeah, it is Yoshi's tongue. Okay, so it's 3-2... Yeah, math going into sound 5-6. Math. okay, here we go. Sound number 6.
Definitely know this.
Yeah, you do. That's good. We were going a little fast, so we could take a second.
Is this
Mass Effect 2?
When Oh, it's... Wow, we both went for that. Yeah. We're both wrong.
I'm not a one-trick pony.
I'm a little bit. You're a two-trick pony.
Yeah, two. Mass Effect and The Witcher. This song is called Calm, so I'm okay just to let it sit for a second. I cannot believe either of you don't have
it. I totally thought this was Mass Effect. Oh! It's Minecraft.
It is Minecraft.
Yeah. I needed that tone. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
It is the Minecraft ambient.
Holy crap, I didn't know that. I didn't recognize that beginning bit at all.
Gotcha.
As Minecraft.
That's, okay. I think, 42 seconds. That's the longest it's ever taken you guys to get a sound.
I need the melody. Doo, doo, doo.
There you go.
And then
video is 10 hours long, so we had as long as it Speaking of 10-hour videos.
Is this Wii Sports?
It is Wii Sports. Well, very good. It is Wii Sports.
Defeated at the last turn. Well done, Matt. That was
I can't believe we haven't played that for anything. So, I think that's also the first name that sound where you guys have gotten every sound.
Yeah,
I think so.
Little self pat on the back for me for picking knowable sounds. So we are running out of time, and I do not want to go over time like we had the last couple weeks. But I'm going to give you guys each 30 seconds to think about an answer and then give a short and profound... Think about a question and give a short and profound answer. I saw on Reddit page a question that I liked an awful lot. It was, you know you're dying in an hour. You can start any game at any point. What are you playing?
I have an hour.
You have an hour. In any game, at any point in that game. I will give you my answer, what you think.
Okay.
My answer is I would play the party... In the Citadel DLC of Mass Effect 3.
That takes more than an hour.
The party, not so much. The whole DLC is great, but the actual party's about an hour.
An hour of any video game ever.
Does the Wii music help?
Not really.
I would not play Wii Sports.
Yeah, it would not be Wii Sports.
I would go either with the suicide mission from Mass Effect 2.
Strong call.
Or... the final boss in Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles.
Ooh.
Who you literally fight using, like, the memories that you have made throughout the game.
That is sweet.
Yeah.
I'm going to go a totally different way. I'm just going to play Rock Band.
Just going to play an hour of Rock Band?
Yeah. It's like, because then it's like, if my hour runs up and I'm not to the climax of whatever story I decided to jump in on for whatever reason...
Interesting.
Then it doesn't matter.
Yeah, a lot of the people that I saw were like, I play an hour of Skyrim, or basically, like, the common thing was games that you can sink an unlimited amount of time in that you would just want just one more hour of it.
Yeah.
So Minecraft was up there, too.
Yeah.
As a thing that people like quite a bit.
Yeah, I don't think I'd pick a game with an actual story where I'm like, I'm going to jump in and enjoy this one bit I really liked again.
Yeah.
I'm going to create my own experience.
Interesting. I think if I had to play one level, that would probably be the suicide mission from Mass Effect 2. So good.
Yeah.
Okay, so that just about wraps it up for us this week. Stay tuned to our Facebook page for any news that might be happening in the next upcoming weeks. Ooh, excuse me. I have the hiccups right now. But in the meantime, have a great day. Enjoy school as much as you can. I don't know. You know what? Enjoy the wonderful weather because it's going to be gone very soon. Enjoy this Wii Sports music. And next week we'll be here to talk to you about... definitely NHL, and maybe we'll take a crack at either Gears of War or Borderlands to see what it's all about. But in the meantime, have a great week, everybody, and we'll see you next week.